The gospel lesson for this Monday, Thursday, gives us an insight into the mind of our Lord and Savior on this day, this Passover celebration, this night in which he will later be betrayed. It's interesting that his words and actions are few, at least as they're recorded. But because they are few, their meaning is intensified. This is his last opportunity to teach, and he calmly focuses on what is important. This was a dark and dirty night. And even though the elements of the weather may not have reflected that, the dirt in the human soul did. Every motive that corrupts the human nature was present that night. Cruelty, indifference, callousness, fickleness, lust, and evil found residence not only in the few, but also in the masses that just watched on the side. So what was important to Jesus that night? A sure teaching about love. After all, God is love. And apparently not just a doctrinal formulation and about it to discuss, but an exemplary and essential demonstration to remember. I have set you an example, Jesus said, that you should do as I have done for you. I tell you the truth, no servant is greater than his master, nor is his messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. Jesus, by his actions and by his words, calls his troops to attention. He encourages them to remain alert, to do battle with all the evil forces of wickedness that are present, to live what has been graced to them and what is believed by them. The temptation that night, and seemingly for the church forever, is what John warns of later in his first epistle. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. The scene begins with words of love. Having loved his own, he loved them to the end, and ends with, love one another just as I have loved you. By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. And sandwiched in between, Jesus washes the feet of his disciples. I'd like to share just three brief reflections on the lessons maybe that Jesus was teaching about love. First, I see that this is a selfless love. Jesus, the Lord and Master, gets up from the table, takes off his outer robe, puts on a towel around his waist, kneels in front of his disciples, and begins to wash their feet. This was the menial task belonging to the servants. This was meant for Gentiles. And yet it is Jesus that is doing it. You know, when you think about ourselves, think about myself, isn't it true that often we're about self-fulfillment, self-interest, self-promotion, self-aggrandizement, self-glory, self, self, self. And Jesus says, no to self. Deny yourself. Pick up your cross. Follow me. We do well to remember the Apostle Paul's words in Philippians 2:7. But he made himself of no reputation and took upon himself the form of a servant. The foot washing is a picture of our dear Lord laying aside his robes of glory. Jesus laid aside his dignity, but he did not lay aside his deity. This is humble self-love, selfless love. Remember how the gospel lesson begins. Jesus, knowing that he had come from God, knowing that he was going back to God, knowing that the Father had delivered all things into his hands, laid aside his garments and washed their feet. Friends, this is where the direction and the power for humble, selfless love comes from for us as well. Remembering who and whose especially we are. You're a child of God. You're a royal blue blood. You are a son of heaven, adopted in the waters of holy baptism. And through that baptismal union and adoption with Christ, you have his power so to love and imitate the Lord. Secondly, this love is a steadfast love. Having loved his own, he loved them, continued to the end. If you were going to die and you knew it, almost wanted to take a hand count here, wanted to see how many of you would think about washing someone's feet on that occasion. And even though it was customary, what Jesus did was amazing. The Bible says that Jesus, knowing everything, he knew how the night would end. He knew that he was going to be betrayed with a kiss, that he would be whipped, that he would have to carry the cross, that nails would soon be piercing his hands and his feet. Knowing it all, knowing it was all there and waiting, he loved his disciples unto the end. Real love is steady. It is steadfast. And who was Jesus loving? Jesus was loving Judas. And the gospel plainly says he had already been filled with Satan. And Jesus is washing Judas' feet. Didn't Jesus say, love your enemies. Do good to those that persecute you. This evening we are reminded that we should be thankful that Jesus practiced what he preached. And do you know what those disciples were talking about at the very same time? They were arguing about who was going to be the greatest among them. The fourth year disciples were discussing who was going to get the best call with the biggest salary. And while they are arguing about who is going to be the greatest, Jesus washes their feet. They didn't deserve it. Jesus had plenty of other things on his mind, but he kept on loving. His love was steadfast. Do I, have love that does not change because of circumstance? I ask myself that as I prepared this message. You see, so many times I excuse myself. That's what I found. You know, I want to be loving, but I'm too tired, I'm too sick, I'm too hassled, there's so much else going on. I make excuses. But here's my favorite. You don't know the pressure I'm under. No one was under more pressure than our Lord Jesus Christ. In a few hours, he would be sweating blood in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he is still loving. If you want to know what you're full of, see what spills out when you're jostled. That's what you're full of, whatever spills out. And what came out of the Lord Jesus was infinite love. You know what that tells me? It tells me that my Lord will always love me. There is nothing, there is no way that he will stop loving me. Never. The Holy Spirit's commentary is noteworthy. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. And finally, this is sanctifying love. That is, it sets us apart for and points us to needed, regular, necessary fellowship with Jesus. Remember Simon Peter's reaction when the Lord comes to him? No, Jesus. No, not washing my feet. Then Jesus explains. And of course, Peter becomes superlative. Well, not just my feet, all of me. Jesus has changed the figure. He is no longer talking about physical dirt or physical feet. Now he is talking about spiritual dirt. Jesus was talking about forgiveness when he said to Peter, Peter, you don't know what I'm doing now, but you will know hereafter. You remember Peter cursing and denying Christ in the courtyard. It's not that Peter fell from grace, but that he sinned, was in grave danger, and needed forgiveness and restoration. Christ would later forgive and restore Peter. That's why Jesus said, you'll understand it later on what I'm talking about. You see, just as a person has a bath and is clean, so when we are saved, we're cleaned. We're cleansed from all of our sins by the blood of Jesus Christ, by grace through faith, we are forgiven and made whole. But just as a person who has had a bath goes to walk through a dusty field and gets his feet dirty, those of us who have been saved still live in a polluted world. And it's really close because we have our own sinful nature as well as Satan around us to always tempt us. And the devil, the world, and our flesh are always, always fighting against us. And as it were, our spiritual feet get defiled. Sin is everywhere and we sin. We don't need to be saved again, but we do need to have our feet washed. That is, day by day, moved by the Spirit, we come to the Lord Jesus and He renews and refreshes and restores and reinvigorates us. Daily, we need to come to Him, confess our sin, and have our sin forgiven so that we lead a life of daily repentance, contrition, and faith towards God and one another. John's words in 1 John 1 are memorable. This is the message that we have heard from Him and declare to you. God is light. In Him there is no darkness at all. If we have fellowship, same word, if we have fellowship with Him and yet walk in darkness, and I believe that one of the deepest darknesses is that we don't forgive one another, John continues, we lie and we do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light, even as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, purifies us from all sin. Selfish, selfless, steadfast, and sanctifying love. We thank God in its most perfect form. It was directed towards us, the object of His affection, as seen in His life, death, and resurrection, and not just for us, but for the entire world. Having loved His own, He loved them to the end. And hearing the words of Jesus, if I, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you ought to wash one another's feet. We are reminded of our identity in Christ, that we too might so love. I fully believe that Jesus knew on this night that we would stumble and fall, sometimes very badly, over this new and great commandment by which all of the world is to know that we are His disciples. And so similarly, seeing us and knowing our need for mercy, forgiveness, and strength, He instituted the blessed sacrament of His body and blood. All has been prepared. Come. Come.